Father, again, we thank you for being in the house of God tonight. We thank you for those that are here. We'll open this precious book again and ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we try to understand it. Lord, I know there must be a lot going on from your standpoint to try to get to see the little we see, have to filtrate it through our mind, and digest it through our heart. And I pray tonight this would be, again, something that can help us as we look at issues in life and be able to say, God, give us wisdom to apply the word of God to it, that we may have victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. If you will, take your Bible, first of all, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And what you do, if you will, if you get to Proverbs, go to the right. And you come right to it. And here we are going to read, I want to read a number of places in the scripture tonight, and then I'll give the title. Solomon said this in verse 1. He said, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he's taken under the sun? And then he said, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. He talks about vanity. Vanity, he's not talking about foolish pride here, but he's talking about vanity of the emptiness of the result of a life without God in it. And what he's setting forth here in these verses, right in the middle of verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, he said, vanity, vanity. He said, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, if you look over in chapter 5 with me, and verse 7, you see that he also says this in chapter 5 and verse 7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, inviolate perverting of judgment and justice in providence, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Now, it interests me. He said, no matter how high one may think they are in this life, and whatever they do, whether it's for or against someone, keep in mind, there's always one who will be higher. You know who that's talking about, don't you? It's God himself. And we know Jesus Christ, probably at the bema seat of Christ for those that are there, and then at the great white throne judgment too. He said, moreover, though the profit of the earth is for all, the king himself served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance but increases in increase. This also is vanity. If you look in chapter 12, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says again in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth, and it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Then he sums it up in verse 13 and 14. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, if you go back with me to the book of Job, and I'd like for you to turn back there if you would, and let's see in chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, we'll read all these sacred time, but he said in verse 1, call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn? And he's given a discourse on life, on what would happen about wrath and so forth. And we get down to verse 6, he said, although affliction cometh not forth out of the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you turn over to chapter 14 again, and you look with me down about verse 1 and 2, God says through Job, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. By the way, if you live to be 100 years old, it's just a few days compared to eternity anyhow. And then he says, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. Then for the last verse of Scripture, let's go to the New Testament, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In verse 13 this morning, Dr. Money read that in his Sunday school lesson. I don't want to read it again for the night. Look with me if we will in chapter 10. And then he said this, there have no temptation taken you, such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dear beloved, flee from idolatrous. Imagine he would call that, and this must have been a terrible sin in that era of the city of Corinth. And he says in verse 15, though, I speak to wise men, judge ye what I say. And I end up saying this verse of scripture by Paul to the church at Corinth can be anyone who speaks that's in this book, because this book is inspired by God. So all the verses I've read to you tonight come from this book. And I can say to you with the Apostle Paul in that verse, I speak to wise men, in that case women, judge ye what I say. And so I say tonight, we all face issues in life. And life sometimes is hard to decipher exactly what's going on so we can get the right answer for it. But sooner or later, we will get the right answer God brings around to it. And I'll show that as we look at tonight. He talked about, Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What? Life is full of vanity. What does the word vanity mean? It means anything that is worthless or conceit or emptiness. Isn't it amazing? All that man gathers in this life, we consider to be the richest man in the world. In God's sight, it's worthless when you die. And he said, the reason why, the children, you're going to leave it, the next generation to get it, the next generation to get it, next. And if not, it just keeps going forward. Life is short. He tells us that. He's not telling us to be lazy. He also tells us there's something about you ought not to be lazy. You need to work hard and work for him. But at the same time, and when you work at on your puppet, you ought to be for the Lord. In turn, be blessed. Like Joseph was in his day when he went through the different places he went. Wherever he went, he didn't go against God, and God blessed everywhere he was at. And so will God do us in our this day, and in this day, and please, and bless sometimes even where you work at for the people you work for, if you do it as unto the Lord. And so we all have issues, okay? We know what vanity is. Anything, again, is worthless, empty, conceit. But what does the word issue mean? The word issue means a dispute or conflict or argument or disagreement to put forth or to circulate in life. Now, I gave you the definitions of what this is when it comes to issue and vanity. But I want to show you now, you say, why does that fit me? Well, let's pull out a family in the Bible that fits right in this category. And God gives us the history of a family called Jacob and Esau. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, and we'll follow this family, and we'll see exactly what God has said in detail with a accurate situation that he is involved with this family, which is going to lead to the making of Israel. If you look in chapter 32 and 33, and I don't have time to read all this tonight, but I will be here the rest of the night, and we'll be looking at some things that in turn will show us what God is saying about life, about the issues of life. Sometimes we think we can bypass issues that face us and never come back. But God's going to show us many times. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, amazing thing, as you get a little older, you find out when you, before you were saved, you had issues. After you got saved, you got, you know, you're forgiven for your sin. But sometimes you think, well, now, boy, I never had more issues. If you be honest, you brought some issues over with you into the family of God. And they're hard to get away. Sometimes we try to run from them, but running from them don't really make them go away. And you're going to see in Jacob's life and Esau, even before they were born, they had an issue. I mean, when Esau was born first, Jacob had a hold of his heel trying to hold him back. And somebody say he's trying to keep me born because it was the firstborn that got the blessing from the dad. And then Jacob was born second. But he had hold, as the scripture says, you see it in these chapters, of back in Genesis 25, verse 26, had hold of Esau's heels. And what happened was, he was not born first. He didn't deserve to have the blessing. But he and his mother tricked the dad and blessed him rather than Esau. And he was conniving. He did something against a brother that was terrible to be done, and yet he thought he could leave and run and forget it, and 21 years later, he's still faced with it. And that's what blesses me. God doesn't not just give us an example or give us something to say to do. God gives us an example of how it works in our life and how it will work in our life, because God is still in control about what takes place. So let's look at Jacob and Esau and learn how to handle hidden issues that no one else may know about, except in maybe in a family circle like this, in these two men. We all have issues. I guarantee you. You say, not me, preacher. You got a bad issue. You're denying something that, to come back. Listen, don't you know God is there to help us with our issues? The issues come up in life. And so as I look at the scriptures, it's an amazing thing in America that even when we do not understand the issues of life, sometimes that we're involved in, we let our opinions be known anyhow. Without understanding the issues, we make our decisions and they're based on our thinking and our feelings at the time. And did you know all of us at times make decisions about issues that we don't even know about the whole thing, but we have our opinion about it. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's the way we are. And if you'll be honest, if we don't know all the facts by this, what's one of the problems about our nation? You got two groups up there against each other, and they don't have all the facts. They get a little facts, and if they don't like the other group, they make up lies about it. You hear it all the time. And so here we're seeing what God is telling us through this family. Without understanding the issues, I pray that this night may God help us to never make a decision, haste only in our thinking and our feeling, without understanding the issues that are involved. If one marries without understanding the issues of a marriage, that marriage will have a difficult place in life to be. Here, one must understand the essence of marriage and the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. Because I preached a message here not too long ago that when you get married, it is not a contract. It's a covenant between two people who vow themselves to each other to death do they part. Because if it's only a contract, you have to go to the courthouse, and I'll repeat myself, and get the contract, and you can go to the courthouse and do away with the contract. But you can't with a covenant before God. And so I'm saying, I'm glad God's merciful, aren't you? I'm glad he forgives him, and he forgives, but he wants us to understand where we at in our life. We ought to be pay tribute to the fact God knows more than we do, and what he says is right. And then I begin to see, and then here we must understand this. You see, when distress comes to you and I as an individual, and you can't change the situation, even in a relationship, those stresses go with you. When you get saved, you have stresses. And you come into the family, like, man, I want to have more stress. Any stress you had before has not been dealt with could come up again and would come up if you hadn't dealt with it. Some things we have to deal with as a child of God and put it under the blood and then forget it. Because that's the only way we can get out from under it. And so here, I see this family, and I think if you said you'd see yourself, I know I did if I studied this for the last few weeks. You see, again, here before Jacob became aware of his manipulative tendency, he was grabbing Esau's heels in his mother's womb. You know, you go to Genesis 25, verse 26, and you read that. So Jacob had one of the most dysfunctional relationships that one could have with his brother Esau. And after serving God for some 21 plus years, God made him prosperous. That's Jacob now. He made him prosperous. He had a great family. He found himself being blessed by God Almighty for 21 plus years in a foreign field he'd left because he left the homeland. And here all this time, that one could have against his brother, he still had to face it. Even after serving God for years in a prosperous place, he had to reconcile with his brother Esau by making peace with his issue. And watch how it happens now. When you look at this, Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Esau had a right to be against Jacob. But isn't it amazing? The one who had a right to be against is the one who opened the doors up when Jacob came back. Watch Jacob now where he's at, and what happens is how God reverses the table. And using someone's life in the Bible to show us how it works when it comes to issues in God's family. Now, I have one point. But it takes midnight to get through it, I reckon, but I don't have one point. We all have an issue or a thing or a fear or a problem or an Esau to deal with in our lives. Because Esau represents a certain type issue. And when I see this, Jacob spent about 21 years running and hiding in a far country, avoiding his problem, which was Esau. And we can only outrun our dysfunctional relationship with something for so long. He had run for 21 plus years away from the thought of what he'd have to do and knew what he did. And though God did not take that away from Jacob, though he was a conniving, deceiving person, God didn't take it away, what he did in this dysfunctional family when it come to who Jacob was and who Esau was. And Esau showed something that's very wonderful here, I believe, for us to understand. Now that Jacob is rich, he's in the foreign land. Now he's been blessed by God. He's married. He's got a great family. But here he has to confront one thing that he had suppressed for so long with his brother Esau. Somehow or another, folks, it must have eat away at him. After 21 years, he'd thought, sure, he had forgot about it. After 21 years, God had blessed him. He had a tremendous income. He was a prosperous person. He had a family that was as good as any family of the time. But he had an issue. He couldn't get rid of it. And one day, he said, you know, I've got to go back and talk to my brother Esau. I don't know if he'll receive me or not, but I've got to go back. I caused the problem. I've got to go back and settle it now. And that's what we see happen in his life. Sometimes we have run as far as we can run. Sometimes we achieve as much as we can achieve. Sometimes we accumulate all that we can accumulate, and then we have to face whatever is our Esau. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, you go read it, verse 22 and 24. He said about if you go to the altar to pray and have an issue and ask God for something. He said, you go back and settle the issue. By the way, what Jesus taught is what exactly has happened here in this family. You go back and settle the issue before you ever get anything from me because of that problem. We're peacemakers. But then again, notice, I say that God said, Jacob tried giving his brother gifts. I mean Esau. Genesis 38, verse 8 through 11. He said, you know, I've been blessed. What I'm going to do, I want to go give him all these gifts, this stuff that God has given me. Surely that'll lay a line for us so we can settle this issue that I caused, that Jacob caused. And you see that he said, we try to hide our issue by surrounding and insulating ourselves with our stuff. Jacob demonstrated a common reaction when we are confronted with a complicated issue. Maybe my stuff will be accepted. Maybe what God has blessed me, I'll share with my brother, and that would be accepted. But listen, folks, your or my gift will only take us so far. Then it comes that gifts won't do anything except what God says to do. Please hear me. Please hear me. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful portion of Scripture to understand about what Solomon's saying about what is vanity in life. So Jesus demonstrates a common reaction, but at the same time, Jacob tried giving his brother these things, and in life, there seems to come a time when we will have to separate ourselves from our stuff for God to give us lasting peace and victory. If God allows us to have his provision, but not have his peace, what kind of blessing is that? Would you hear what I said? If God lets me have all of his provisions, and that's what he did with Jacob, but he couldn't have that peace that God said he could have, what good is it? Somewhere down the road, there has a tendency to come back to us later what we never dreamed would come back. You know why? God's still in charge of our lives. That's the reason I think sometimes the trouble that I may have to go through with is not because of where I'm at, it's because of where God's taking me. Because if I can't handle the trouble, then I can't do what he wants me to do. Does that sound foreign to you? It amazes what God gives you when you stand this book. It amazes me. Somehow they say, oh, trouble's here because of something. No, you may not, trouble come, comes tonight. You don't have a thing in the world that sin at all, anything in your life. But God knows without the trouble, you will not be what you ought to be when you get where he wants you to be. Because he's got something in us we couldn't handle unless we understand how to have the trouble. And that's what we see in Jacob. He run away, and 21 years stayed away, but he couldn't get away from the issue that he had caused himself. And so, in life, if God lives, again, allows us to have provision, but not have that peace, what good is that? Think with me just a minute. If we get a husband or a wife and do not have God's peace in that relationship, we'll mess up that relationship that we prayed for if we're not careful. If I work with someone in a partnership, it's a possibility that if I don't understand about partnership, that there'd be a problem that I never saw coming, and God would bring it out to get us where we need to be ourselves. So I see that if God allows us to have his provision, but not have his peace, then I still don't see where we won anything there. We need the peace of God to sustain a loving relationship, to handle the weight of human interaction. Human problems follow us. Just because we want to get rid of, by the way, even though we put some things under the blood and know God has forgiven us, Satan knows the right time to bring it up. He don't forget it. He don't care one thing about us except to bring us to thinking sometime that God don't care for us even after we're saved. I've got news for you. He cared for us before we got saved. He cares for us after we're saved. But Satan works in our master mind to get us to think that there are times God don't care that much for us because of the situation that we may have to face in life. And we will have issues to face. There's no doubt about that. And what we do then, maybe sometimes we should be praying for God's provision, or should stop praying for God's provision and pray for God's peace that passes understanding. Sometimes when we try to hide behind our stuff, our religion, our opinions, we construct barriers that keeps us from seeing ourselves in God's purpose in life. Listen, peace with God will help bring peace with people as well. Many times, instead of dealing with an issue, we insulate ourselves from the issue by trying to wear a mask when we come to church, and sometimes God arranges for us to be in church so he can fix that something that's in our lives. And so what Satan knows, if this book is taught, this is the authority. And if a person has an issue, if you don't run from church, and Satan gets you to run from church, you never get an answer for it. You may get a bandage, but not an answer. But this book will give an answer for it. There's nothing you and I face that God hadn't covered somehow in word and deed in this book. It's a matter of just taking and looking at what's happened. He didn't write this book so we can understand it. He wrote it so that we can understand. Not that we can't, but that we can understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I see that in this life. Many times, instead of dealing with an issue, we insulate ourselves from that issue by trying to wear that mask. Now, I want you to know, when Jacob finally got to Esau, he was surprised at what he saw. I mean, we look at the issues as we face in life, and sometimes God surprises us how it comes out when we do what he says to do. As a matter of fact, in this case with Jacob, I said Jacob had been running 21 years. He'd been trying to avoid the thing he feared the most. His relationship with his brother Esau was what he feared the most with all the blessings. It didn't, God didn't bless him, but he never let the issue die. He can't die. Jacob probably started with wanting to forget it. After all, his mother was in the thing with him. So what mattered? What difference did it make? But he couldn't. You know why? God sets principles through our life. You know, if God were writing books today about us, or writing his word about us and putting it somewhere or another, probably some things we go through, he'd say, here's what I say, dude. Let me show how it works. That's what he did here in this family. And so I see that he's talking about something in life that would be a great help to us as we look at it. When we understand as to who we are in Christ Jesus, God will help us deal with the true issues even during our weakness. And that's what this book is for. When we trust Christ as our Savior and allow him to help us address the things in life that are in our heart, the Holy Spirit will help us do what is right. When we arrive at this new reality in Christ, and I believe that we will say, if I bring something over with me and I put it in the blood, but yet in reality it's hid away somewhere in the heart to come up later, then we'll find that God shows us he can help us deal with that reality. But at the same time, he lets us also know, and when you deal with it, here's what the thought is. Why didn't I do that sooner? That's what Jacob says. This is where Jacob's at. He's going to be against me. He may harm me. He may want to pay a difference in it. And when he comes and offers him all his, when Jacob offers Esau all this stuff, Esau said, Jacob, I don't want that. Hey, Jacob, God bless me. I don't want your stuff. I just want your peace. And they fell on each other and began to love him. And what he thought, Jacob thought was going to be disaster, Esau was looking for it for years. Esau had more peace than Jacob. And it's Jacob who stole the birthright from Esau. Isn't that amazing? Don't that do something to your heart that you understand how God works and not the way man thinks? And I see that he worked in this verse. I'm talking about issues in life that we face. It's simple, amazing what God Almighty does for us. When we trust him, we find ourselves, it seems that sometimes God has to frustrate our progress to let us use his priority or to see his priorities. When trusting God, when I'm pushing through pain and pushing through disappointment in life, I found out God will still keep his promise. Just because I'm pushing through pain and pushing through disappointments in life and pushing towards the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus, that means the trouble I have now, that God has quit working with me. It means that he sees I need something to help me yonder. And I'm glad he sees I need something to help me yonder. To go get there, I'm going to have a glorified body. Yet here, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high call of Christ. And boy, I'm telling you, it opens up a heart as this God, Holy Spirit helps us understand and apply, you know, Scripture with Scripture. And so when we trust with him, God says, I'm pushing through the pain and disappointment, and God cannot lie. God will finish what he started in our lives if we obey him to that degree. So we need to stay excited for what God has in store for you and me in this life. And then to keep in mind, it is God who provides, so I should never forget who it is that's behind the blessing. It's God who blessed Jacob. And he didn't forget behind the blessing, but the blessing is so great, he thought he could take the blessing God gave him and give it to Esau in the stuff that he had, and it didn't work. Because he was blessed because it was from the heart rather than from the things. And I say again, his word says, when God is first in our lives, then the provisions are unlimited. I know this. I do not believe that people get up in the morning. I don't believe this, folks. I don't believe there's anybody in this building or saved gets up in the morning. I don't believe any unsaved person gets up in the morning and says, you know, I'm going to see just how bad I can live today. Well, I'm going to live like a dog. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to live as evil as I can. It may come out that way, but I don't know if anybody gets up and does that. I guarantee you, ask anybody, has anybody got up and say, no, this is the day I, Lord may make this day, but this is the day I'm really going to live a wicked life. No. But you know, some people get up and do. So we have to realize God knows what he's talking about when it comes to our life with him. And so I don't believe that God, that one does that. But I believe that many start out the day and gets distracted from God and bang, procrastination leads to disobedience before they even know it. And all of a sudden, they don't know what to do with it, except do what we all do, rise up in pride and fight back. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Look at the precious Son of God, Jesus, when they hung him on the cross. Aren't you glad he didn't have the pride we had to rise up and fight back? If he had, he would have zapped all in hell, come off the cross and said, that's it, I've finished it, Lord. God, I've done all I'm going to do. As far as I'm concerned, up to here, before here on out, there's nothing, I'm through with it. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? If he had, we'd all go to hell. But he paid the price in the face of his enemies who mocked him and said, thou be the Christ, come down and we'll worship you. That didn't do any good. He knew they wouldn't because they wouldn't believe his word. And so I see that we all face issues in life. And when we fail, God corrects us and still gives us another chance to go and do right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you look at me, when we take communion, that's exactly what God says through the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. You remember every time we take communion? Look with me, if you will, again. And this will tell you what he says about not only communion, but other times in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you look down in verse 31 and 32, he said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, I love this. When we are, wait a minute, he didn't say if you are. He said when you are, when the time comes that you are judged. Notice what he says. He said, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't that wonderful? I want to tell you, that's a great praise. Holy, that's the greatest thing in this world. That if I blow it somewhere or another and God chases me to get me back right, then I know he did it because he loved me, and he set forth that he does it, that we should not be condemned with the world. And I see again, we face issues in life, and when we fail, God corrects us as a father and still gives us another chance. Why? Because in 1 John 4, verse 8 and 16, the Bible says, God is love. Proverbs 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Boy, I love that. I got that marked. Now you should have it marked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. I didn't write this. God wrote this. I'm just a messenger. That's the reason many times if people are not going to buy God's word, they hate the messenger. They think the messenger has made up the message. No. The message is given for someone else and gives someone to give it. And that's what God has done. And so I think about there's a story about a young dad who told about his son that kind of climaxes this. And you see it, I think. He studied geography, came home one night, and he said, Dad, let me ask you a question. How do wars get started? He says, well, let me tell you. Let's see. Let's suppose that England get in an argument of something. And they can't get over it at whatsoever. And the wife said, well, now, wait a minute, honey. England and America is not in argument. He said, but I know that, but just a hypothetical situation. I'm trying to just show him. Well, you know that England and America is not in argument. But it's hypothetical. But wait a minute, you're misleading the child. You're saying something's not true, even though you say it's hypothetical. He said, but I'm telling you, I'm not misleading the child. And she says, yes, you are. You're doing everything against what we're trying to do to tell them the truth. And the little boy's just looking at it. And the dad says, what is wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? And the little boy said, my dad, please stop right now. I think I know how wars are starting. That's a true thing, isn't it? I think I know how. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, issues have to be solved. God can forgive us for it, but listen, I don't have any idea that they was having anything to God and Jacob as far as God held anything against him, other than the fact the issue was there, and God shows us, oh, it's vanity, in this life, everything that we gain, somebody else is going to have it one day. The thing about it is, can we let God give us a heart? Because he's a God of love. And love does away with many things in life. Father, I thank again because of that love. Lord, issues, we all have them. I have them. Everybody here have issues. If not, they have one. They just come out of one. They're going to have one. And we'll have one next week. There will be issues in life. Satan has us in his sights ever since we've been saved. He's upset because we trusted Christ as Savior. We blacked his eye by believing God rather than him. And now he's doing everything he can to get us misled about things in turn that would hinder the cause of Christ. We don't mean to. Sometimes we don't think we are. But God has shown us here is a case where Jacob, though he left, what better way? He left his family. He left his brother. He went to a foreign field somewhere else. He's married now. Got the blessings. Look like God has blessed him. And yet, but all the things he had, there was something eaten away in the heart about what he did against his brother Esau. And he says, no, I believe now I can go back and give him some of my stuff and show him that I'm sorry and everybody wants stuff. And because I do that, then, Lord, I have the way I can bless my own brother now. And the story goes that when he came, he was even afraid that he might do something to him or his family, so he made arrangements how he approached Esau. Wonderful story to see. But when Esau saw him, he ran to him. And Jacob said, Esau, I want to give you this stuff. Why? Because God blessed me. In a way, he was saying, I'm sorry. He said, no, I don't need it. I really don't need it, but I want you to have it. And the end result, I think Esau took it, some of it anyhow. But Esau was saying, I don't need that. I just need my brother. What an amazing thing when someone forgives us when we're wrong ourselves. What an amazing thing to have the love of God in our heart. And Esau, even though he wasn't even saved, as we know of, like we saw saved, but who knows, since who he was, he had a heart to understand when some things are wrong, could be corrected. Help us this week as we go through life to look at our life and look at our issues and say, Lord, please help me with my issues. Please help me with my issues. If I face one, give me the wisdom to know how to handle it. And in life, by doing so, if I can't do anything about it, let me put a stop here, and from here on out, I'm going to serve you the way I need to serve you and forget the past, because you can't make people do anything. You just can't do that. But you can try to be like Christ. Christ could make anyone trust him, but he won't. Isn't it an amazing thing? Christ did for people what could save their soul for eternity, and yet he won't make them trust him. And neither can we. But we love people. Help us do that this week. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.